بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد الحمد لله today is the 11th of October in the year 2020 and alhamdulillah we moved on to the 24th session that we're going through the commentary of the glorious surah al-Isra. And I've reached verse 102. So inshallah today, going through up to and including verse 105. So verse 102. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Ayy, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam said, you know well that these things have been sent down by none but the Lord of the heavens and the earth as eye-opening evidence. But I consider you indeed, O Fir'aun, to be one doomed to destruction. So in this holy verse, in the previous verse, they asked for 9 clear signs. And I mentioned that there's 2 meanings here. One is the miracles and the other is the commandments. But in this verse, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam is referring to the miracles. And he said, you've seen these and you know that they can only have come from the Lord of the heavens and the earth. Basair, i.e. as an eye-opening evidence. But then he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, but I consider you, O Fir'aun, to be one doomed to destruction. Meaning, I think that you're not going to believe. But the word Musa alayhi salatu wasalam used is mathbura. And this has 3 meanings. Abdullah ibn Abbas, he recited the last portion of verse 102. And he said, mathbura means cursed. So one meaning is, I consider you, O Fir'aun, to be cursed. Ad-Dahaq rahmatullah alayhi said, mathbura means defeated. So another meaning is, I consider you, O Fir'aun, to be one defeated. And a third meaning, Mujahid and Qatada rahmatullah alayhi said, means you are bound to be destroyed. So now it means, I consider you, O Fir'aun, to be one, I doomed to destruction. All 3 quotes are in Ibn Jarir and Ibn Kathir's tafsir. So note the eloquence of the prophets. They use words, but look at the pregnancy of those words. وَإِنِّي لَأَظُنُّكَ يَا فِرْعُونُ مَثْبُورًا. You are defeated, you are cursed, and you are doomed to destruction. Meaning, you've rejected the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Verse 103. So he resolved to remove them from the face of the earth. But we did drown him and all who were with him. So Allah the Almighty and Glorious then says that Fir'aun, he was now resolving to destroy the Muslims, the Bani Israel. But Allah Ta'ala said he was ultimately drowned. So there's a few things worth mentioning here. In Surah 10, verse 90 and 1. Surah 10, verse 90 and 1. The few details are mentioned there. The translation. We took the children of Israel across the sea. Fir'aun and his hosts followed them in insolence and spite. At length, when overwhelmed with the flood, he said, I believe that there is no God except him whom the Bani Israel believe in. I am amongst the Muslims. So in this verse, Allah the Almighty and Glorious says that he took the Shahada when he was now drowning. Right? So right at the last moment, he mentioned this. So there's a few things mentioned here. First of all, did he go straight into the sea? So Hafiz ibn Kathir, he gave some details here. So first of all, there was 12 tribes of the Bani Israel. So when he struck the sea, there was 12 paths in the sea. It wasn't one path. It was 12 paths. And Hafiz ibn Kathir said, rahmatullah alayh, that when he passed through the sea, in another verse of the Quran, Surah 44, verse 24, Allah the Almighty and Glorious says, leave the sea as it is. Now, why is that important to mention? Because it's a miracle. Some people say atmospheric pressure and the wind came and this, that, and the other. Then how do you explain this verse? Leave the sea as it is, meaning it's under your authority. Don't touch the sea so that it goes back to normal. Leave it. Then Ibn Kathir said, rahmatullah alayh, When the sea was left in its state, and Pharaoh saw it, so he saw the 12 parts, he became frightened. And he confirmed within himself what he already knew from before, that this was from the Lord of the throne. He became remorseful, but his regret at that time would not benefit him. He displayed contrary feelings to his army than what he was feeling, and he said to them, "Look how the sea split for me, so that I could catch these servants who fled from me." He did not have any intention to go with his army in that passage. So Ibn Kathir is explaining something. So Fir'aun, he goes, "Oh my God, this is from Rabbul Alameen." But because he's that pride, Musa alayhi salam, because you're destroyed. Madbura. Openly he goes, look, even the seas obeying me. Come on, let's go. But then Ibn Kathir said, he did not have any intention to go into the sea. It was just like speech coming out of his mouth to show his pride. Then the report says, Ibn Kathir said, it is said that Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came there in the guise of a cavalier on a horse. When he passed by Pharaoh's horse, he neighed to it. Jibreel then entered the sea, alayhi salatu wasalam, and Pharaoh's horse, which was out of control now, followed him. When his army saw Pharaoh entering the sea, they all entered behind him. Then when all of them had entered, Allah the Almighty ordered Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, "Now strike the sea with your staff." When he struck it, the sea returned to its former state, and no one of Pharaoh's army survived. So this is very important. He didn't want to go in. He just came out with, "This is for me." And then Jibreel passed by. He goes, "Made that noise." Next minute, he's lost control. And they thought, "Oh yeah, let's go. You know, Pharaoh's going forward." Imagine, so when he's actually going, he's trying to pull back. And when all of them entered the sea, Allah the Almighty on the other side told Musa, they said, "Now strike." And then they drowned. The other thing which is fascinating here is, this detail is not in the Bible. So Shaykh Maududi rahmatullah alayhi said, the Bible does not mention this happening. But Talmud says, Talmud is the hadiths of the Bani Israel, that when he was drowning, he said, "Who is like you, O Lord amongst the gods?" So look how interesting. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? That he took the shahada. Because I now believe I'm a Muslim. The Talmud said, "Who is like you?" But Bible, nothing. And that's why when you watch, you know, them films, Allah forgive us, Ten Commandments, he's on the other side. You watch the end, he's just looking. Everybody drowns and Pharaoh's there with ganja, right? He goes, "Oh, I'm going to believe when you're supposed to be in the sea." But Bible has got no details, so they just made their own things up. Because his army drowned and he went back. Sat back on his throne with his missus and he went, "It's all over." So now details. So this hadith is in Tirmidhi, number 3119. And he states, Hassan Ghareeb Sahih Ahmad in his Musnad, number 2144. Abu Dawud At-Tayalisi, number 341. Ibn al-Mundir Ad-Dur al-Mantur Bihaki in Shu'ab al-Iman, number 9393. Ibn Jarir Ibn Kathir's Tafsir. Our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam said to me, "If only you could have seen me while I was taking the black mud from the sea and placing it into the mouth of Fir'aun out of fear that the mercy would reach him." Subhanallah. "If only you could have seen me," Jibreel said alayhi salatu wasalam, "whilst I was taking black mud from the sea, placing it into the mouth of Fir'aun out of fear that the mercy would reach him." So this is a Sayyid Hadith. So now, what does that tell you about Allah Ta'ala's mercy? You look at his CV. If somebody goes, what did he do until that point? Called himself God. "I am God." Killed innocent children. Killed innocent men. 1 year killed their children. Enslaved them. Tyrant. Despite all that and God knows what else, Allah Ta'ala would have still forgiven him. Look at his mercy. The second thing is, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, he can't come down by himself. So if you just read this report, you get the impression that he went able by himself. He can't do that. So what does this mean? It means Allah Ta'ala must have sent him. So there's another report. And the report mentions in the books of Tafsir, that the report says that Allah the Almighty heard him say it twice, the shahada. And he said, if he says it another time, I might forgive him. that was the signal to Jibreel to stop him. And then Jibreel, imagine, I don't know how fast, you know, forget about speed of light, that must have like turtle pace to Jibreel. Speed of light, there's stars that are 10,000 light years away. That means that at the speed of light, 186,000 miles a second, that light takes 10,000 years to reach us. And this is just the first universe. Jibreel's in the seventh universe. He comes down, imagine, how fast is this? From there, bottom of the sea, takes mud, shoves it into his mouth. He goes, now you believe. So I don't even know how fast was he going. And also it shows the angels can go to the bottom of the sea very easily. There's no problem for them. People say, how did they question you in the grave? Stupid questions. Right? You know, the angels are made from light. You know, they got so much strength. But Pharaoh did say it. Pharaoh did say the Shahada, but it was too late. Now, why do we say it was too late? Because in another verse of the Quran, Surah 4 verse 18, it mentions that there's a condition. So in Surah Nisa, Surah 4 verse 18, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, translation, of no effect is the repentance of those who continue to do evil until death faces them. And he says, now I have repented. Nor of those who die rejecting faith, for them we have prepared a punishment most grievous. So Allah ta'ala puts a condition. The condition is that I will not accept repentance when you are on your deathbed, when you're dying. The last moments of your death, just before your death, is too late. But to clarify upon this, the Prophet explains that Allah says, in Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, Hakim Sahih, Zahabi Sahih, Ahmad Ibn Hibban, Mishkat, and Sahih al-Jami, number 1903, our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts the servant's repentance until the gharghar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts the servant's repentance until the gharghar. Gharghar is when the soul gets to the throat. So look how merciful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. If the soul is leaving your feet, you can still do tawbah. Look how merciful he is. He's left your knees. Imagine your knees are... From your knees down, you're dead. Allah Ta'ala still accepts tawbah. Gets to your waist, he will still accept tawbah. Gets to your stomach, he will still accept tawbah. When it gets to your neck, too late. So, as if Allah Ta'ala is, look how symbolic that is. Allah Ta'ala is going all the way as far as he can for you. He could have said, as soon as the angel of death comes, that's it. But in his mercy, he's still. So, Fir'aun, think about this, going back. The soul had reached his throat. Then he said it. What an idiot, right? Imagine. Did you wait for your gharghar? But Allah Ta'ala quoted him. And what does he say? Amantu annahu la ilaha illa alladhi amantu bihi banu Israel wa ana min al-muslimin. I believe that there is no God except him whom the Bani Israel believe in. I am a Muslim. Allah Ta'ala goes, now you believe. Look at the next verse, verse 91, Surah 10, verse 91. Al-an wa qad asayta qablu wa kunta min al-mufsidin. Ah, now, but a little while before you was in rebellion, you did mischief. Subhanallah. There's a few other things which are very important to highlight here. Why was Pharaoh not given the tawfiq to do tawbah? There's a reason. So obviously it's sins, but there's far more to it. So Hafiz Ibn al-Jawzi, rahmatullah alayh, in his work, The Sincere Counsel to the Students of Sacred Knowledge, page 72 to 4, he elaborates upon this. So quoting, he first quotes the hadith. The hadith is in Tirmidhi, number 2516, Hassan Sahih Ahmad, and it's Sahih. Our beloved Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, safeguard Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he will safeguard you. Safeguard Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you will find him in front of you. This is the hadith he's commenting upon. And he's referring to the blessings of good deeds. So quoting, he's saying, do not forget, my son, that it was the good deeds that Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam had in store that saved him from hardship. Then he quotes the verse, Surah As-Safat, verse 143 to 144. The translation, had it not been of them, had he not been of them who do tasbih, he would have remained inside the belly till the day when they are resurrected. So what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? If Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam wasn't amongst those who glorified me, he would have remained, that would have been his grave, the belly of the fish. So what's Allah Ta'ala telling you? He going, because he was remembering me, I helped him. Then he said, the Shaykh, it was also the evil deeds that Fir'aun had stored for himself that rendered him unable to find an escape when disaster befell him. He then recited Surah Yunus, verse 91. It is now you believe whilst disobeying before. Allah Ta'ala says that. Now you believe when you disobeyed before. So look how interesting. Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam stored good deeds. It saved him. Fir'aun stored evil. It destroyed him. This is what Allah Ta'ala is teaching you. Then he said, the Shaykh, so store good deeds and you shall see the results. Then he quotes a hadith. The hadith is in Abu Nu'aym al-Hilya 4-139. Our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there is no youth who fears Allah in his youth except that Allah Ta'ala raises him in status when he is old. Subhanallah. There is no youth who fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his youth except that Allah Ta'ala raises him in status when he is old. The same principle. He's worshipping in his youth. The promise is when he's old, Allah Ta'ala will raise him. Then he quotes another verse. In Surah Yusuf, alayhi salatu wasalam, verse 22, Allah Ta'ala says, when he attained manhood, we gave him wisdom and knowledge. Then what does he say? وَكَذَٰلِكَ نَجْزِ الْمُحْسِنِينَ We reward the doers of good. So Yusuf, alayhi salatu wasalam, why was he made a prophet? Why was he chosen? Allah Ta'ala says, because he was a muhsin. He was doing so much good, we chose him. And also in Surah Yusuf, verse 90, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he who fears Allah and his patience, then surely Allah Ta'ala does not let the reward of the muhsin to be lost. You store up, Allah Ta'ala goes, that will never be lost. That's going to not be in your favor. So now what do we learn? We learn the purpose of good deeds. People think good deeds is rewards, which is a very shallow understanding of good deeds. It's your insurance. For example, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you want your Lord to remember you in times of hardship, remember him abundantly in times of ease. That's the condition. When you get hardship, everybody becomes awliya. You see the guy who's in nightclub, next day he's on prayer mat. Why? Because his mother's in intensive care. He's only come to the prayer mat because he's in need now. But what has he stored up? Right? Bachelor's flat, brother. Still go ahead and do it. Allah Ta'ala is most merciful. But wouldn't it have been better for you to have stored good deeds? Now you're on the prayer mat. Allah Ta'ala goes, I'm not going to let that go to waste. And the Quran is telling you that Fir'aun had nothing stored. Look what he says. Surah 10, verse 92. Now you believe, but before you did mischief. Why does Allah Ta'ala mention his history? Because that's what's destroyed you. Your arrogance. And of course, the dua of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And the other thing which is important is his body was preserved. You can ask me after about that. So now let's go back to the verse. So verse 103, Allah the Almighty doesn't give you details. All he says is, he resolved to remove them from the face of the earth, but we drowned him and all who were with him. So this is the Quran. Allah Ta'ala some places goes into detail. Other places, he doesn't go into detail. Doesn't mention anything. He just mentions as if to say, study. I don't need to repeat myself. Verse 104. And we said thereafter to the children of Israel, dwell securely in the land. But when the second of the warnings came to pass, we gathered you together in a mingled crowd. So now, these two verses have to go together. So verse 103, Allah Ta'ala destroyed Fir'aun and his legions. Verse 104, Allah Ta'ala is talking to the Bani Israel. What does he say? Dwell securely, askanu al-ard. Dwell securely in the land. Which land? The Israels were taken to the promised land in Palestine. And they established their own authority. But they forfeited Allah the Almighty's favor by their sins and backslidings. So again, narrative. Fir'aun drowned. Believe you or not, that's the beginning of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam's life. Ten Commandments finishes there. Finished. Right? He just started his life. What's happened? He lived another 80 years after that. Fruitcakes, right? So anyway, he was told to go to Palestine. Eventually, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam didn't get there. The people backslided. They were 40 years traveling in the desert. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he passed away, as his brother Harun alayhi salatu wasalam. Yusha finally got to Palestine. So Allah Ta'ala is saying here, dwell securely in the land. Who is he talking to? He's talking to Yusha, alayhi salatu wasalam. Meaning that these people are going to backslide. Look how amazing. Just a few days earlier, Fir'aun's drowned. You saw with your eyes. You've disobeyed again. So Allah Ta'ala in his anger, and Musa alayhi salam cursed them as well. He goes, give them no home. And then for 40 years, imagine desert. But even in the desert, Allah Ta'ala made sure they didn't die. He gave them shade during the day. And he gave them light with a fire during the night. And he made mushrooms and manna and salwa to fall so they could eat and drink. And water came from the stuff in the rock. And even then, imagine, what did they start saying after that? Because we got bored of this. We need lentils. We need onions. Surah Baqarah. All the time giving grief to Musa, we're bored. So Allah Ta'ala told them, go to that land. You'll find it there. Meaning, go back to Egypt. Right? The land that you left as slaves. Go back there. You'll find it there. And very interesting, one of the authorities said that was their food as slaves, lentils. So imagine, you were a slave. They got so used to being enslaved, they wanted that food again. Allah Ta'ala goes, go back then. Waiting for you if you want to go back to Egypt. So Allah Ta'ala says, dwell securely in the land. Now this is the promise, and this is why the Bani Israel play games. Because this land is promised to us. They say to this day, God promised us this land. And because we're fruitcakes, we start arguing with them. No, he didn't. Hang on a minute, brother. What do you mean? When you ask them, what do you mean this land is promised to you? Because we are the children of Israel. Yes, it was promised to you when you were Muslims. You're no longer Muslims. Have you understood? Right? So we don't argue with them. This land is promised to you, but you're no longer Muslims. This is not a blood right. This is a right of Iman. You understand? There's a difference. If it was a blood right, yes, you still got claim to that land. Because you are the children of Israel. You still are. You can't deny that. But you forfeited that because you are no longer Muslims. Now the right goes to the Muslims. So this is how we articulate, but people don't study anything. Which promise? Who says promise? And next minute they'll start quoting Quran to you. And then you're going to start doing this, right? And there you go. Next minute you might become, second stamp Yahudi, innit? Astaghfirullah. Second class, astaghfirullah. So here Allah Ta'ala promised them this land. But then it says, but when the second of the warnings came to pass, we gathered you together in a mingled crowd. So there's a few things here. So Ibn Kathir rahmatullah alayh, he explained. So he recited verse 103 first. فَأَرَادَ أَن يَسْتَفِزَّهُم مِّنَ الْأَرْضِ. So he resolved to turn them out of the land, means he wanted to expel and drive them out. Then he recited 103 and 4. But we drowned him and all who were with him. And we said to the children of Israel, dwell in the land. Look what Ibn Kathir said, something fascinating. This is good news for Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A prophecy of the conquest of Makkah. Even though this surah was revealed in Makkah before the Hijrah. Similarly, the people of Makkah wanted to expel the Prophet from his city. Allah Ta'ala said, going back a few verses, verse 76, they were about to frighten you so much as to drive you out of the land. Hence, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused his messenger to inherit Makkah. Just as Allah caused the Bani Israel who had been oppressed to inherit the land of the east and the west, to inherit the lands of Fir'aun's people, its farmlands, crops and treasures. Up in the report. This is the beauty of the Quran. Why is Allah Ta'ala mentioning this here? Because Allah Ta'ala is telling you, history is replaying itself. If you study history, you bother to study it, right? History is going to replay. The oppressors are going to be crushed. And the land that they thought was theirs will be given to you. Look how amazing. What happened? After Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, 3,000, 2,000 years after Musa, same thing happened again. They tried to expel, kill the Prophet and the Muslims. Then what happened? They were crushed. And Makkah fell to the Muslims eventually. So Ibn Kathir said, these verses are a prophecy. Allah Ta'ala is comforting the Prophet, even though the whole surah was revealed before he migrated. Look at the miracle. He's migrating, the surah mentions. He's forced to migrate. Allah Ta'ala is saying, don't worry. You will enter again in a gate of goodness. You will exit from a gate of goodness. And the verses we discussed in the past few sessions. And then he mentions the history. Because this is all sunnah of mine. I don't change my sunnah. Then Ibn Kathir said, Allah the Almighty and Glorious, He says, and He recites verse 104. We said to the Bani Israel after him, dwell in the land. And when the final and last promise comes, we shall bring you together as a mixed crowd. What does that mean? It means all of you and your enemies will be mixed together. This is in Ibn Jarir and Ibn Kathir's tafsir. So what does that mean? So Allah Ta'ala says, when the second of the warnings come to pass, we shall gather you as a mixed, mingled crowd. What's the second warning? What was the first? The second warning was probably the one mentioned in verse 5 of this surah. The second is verse 7 of this surah. The first was Nebuchadnezzar, when he wiped them out, the Bani Israel, prior to Christ. Then there was Titus 70 years after Christ. So Allah Ta'ala is referring to that again. When the second of the warnings came to pass, we gathered you together in a mingled crowd. The second was when they rejected Christ. Look at these fruitcakes. Right? So they were subdued by the Persians, Nebuchadnezzar. Allah Ta'ala brought Christ. Did they accept him? The Bani Israel? No. Because we reject him. We call his mother a prostitute. They boast about killing him. 70 years after Christ, what happened? Titus came. Pulled their catch off again. So Allah Ta'ala is talking about that. And what does he say here? We gathered you as a mingled crowd. Jerusalem now, mingled. It should have been Muslims. What is there now? There's Jews there, Christians there, God knows who else, Kachiwali there, right? Dandus there, right? Mingled crowd, Allah Ta'ala says. Because this is the fruit of your sins. The holy city has now been affected. When you go there, what happens? You feel that. You think, such a holy place, and there's rabbi, and there's padri, there's the church bell tolling, there's the rabbis, there's the guards, right? And what is that? It's your own failings. This is what's caused it. Also, a few years prior, you're talking about 70 years ago, about 80 years ago, there was a Jamaat that went to Masjid Al-Aqsa, the Blighi Jamaat of all, imagine, non-political movement, went to there. They went to Masjid Al-Aqsa, nobody's doing azan. He goes, who's doing azan? And he goes, oh, this man comes, he does it. He goes, where's the man? He goes, we pay him. So imagine, third holiest masjid, they needed to pay somebody to do the azan. They go to the masjid, very few people there. Masjid Al-Aqsa. Right? He goes, that was the state of the Muslims. And then one of the brothers, he said, he goes, Allah is not going to tolerate this much longer. He goes, you're disrespecting the third holiest masjid. Allah Ta'ala is going to teach you a lesson. What happened? Surely thereafter. And then everybody starts crying. Allah Ta'ala is never unjust to his servants. Right? You don't deserve it. Look at the state of the Muslims. Right? You go there now. And we had to move the mihrab. Right? We were sitting at the front. We thought, hey, we'll get to the front stuff. Alhamdulillah. We got there easily. Thought, this is fantastic. All of a sudden, Iqama is in bike. And they said, what's happened? And then they moved this like kind of a mobile mihrab, right, to the bike. I mean, because the masjid wasn't full. Because we have to give the impression that the masjid is full. Third holiest masjid, right? Even in today, and obviously you can argue that now is because there's restrictions. But there you go, study the Quran. When you're deserving, Allah Ta'ala will give you authority. Verse 105. We sent down the Quran in truth. And in truth has it descended. And we sent you, but to give glad tidings and to warn. Look how beautiful that is. Allah Ta'ala goes, we sent down the Quran in truth. In truth it has descended. And we sent you, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to give glad tidings and to warn. What a perfect place to find that verse. Allah Ta'ala is telling you why he's giving you the Quran. He's telling you why he sent his message. But if people aren't studying, then there's problems. So I'll recite the verses. And we will conclude. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Raheem. قال لقد علمت ما أنزل هؤلاء إلا رب السماوات والأرض بصائر. وإني لأظنك يا فرعون مثبورا فأراد أن يستفزهم من الأرض فأغرقناه ومن معه جميعا وقلنا من بعده لبني إسرائيل اسكنوا الأرض فإذا جاء وعد الآخرة فإذا جاء وعد الآخرة جئنا بكم لفيفا وبالحق أنزلناه وبالحق نزل وما أرسلناك إلا مبشرا ونذيرا. We pray to Almighty Allah subhanahu that He makes the Quran the Rabi of our hearts. And I pray to Almighty Allah subhanahu that He forgives me for any errors which I may have inadvertently uttered. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanallah Allahumma bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk, wa bihamdika ashhadu anna muhammadan abduka wa rasuluka, rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun alal mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, wal asr, innal insana lafi khusr, alladhina amanu wa amilus salihat, wa tawassaw bil haqq, wa tawassaw bis sabr, sadaqallahu.